Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
We have to come with expectation if we want to receive from the Lord. So I come with expectation of what God can do in my life. And so I don't want to come to church just to make a social statement, or to come just to punch the social time clock or the spiritual time clock, if you will, but to come to the house of the Lord with the intention of saying, God, I've come because I need you. And God, I come with the expectation that you will meet me there and you will be in the midst of your people. I don't know about you today. I came with expectation that I need God's help today. I need the Lord to minister in my life. I need God to touch me today. And so we come here and we can build a building, we can do all that, but we have to come with expectation that God is going to meet us here, and that I come with a desire to want God to meet with me. And I hope today you've come with that desire in your heart. Amen. If you remain standing for a moment, take your attention to a portion of Scripture. I stand here today humbled and very honored to stand before you today to minister in the absence of our pastor. Today we want to welcome all of our guests today that are with us. We make you welcome. We're thankful for you to be with us today. And we are asking that if you would like to stay around just a moment afterwards, our leadership team will be in the foyer. And we'd love to meet you and to introduce ourselves and to get to know you a little better. And we'd love to interact there after service today. If you'll hang around just after we're finished, we will meet in the foyer area out here in the front. And so we're looking forward to great things. I'm thankful to be a part of this church, and I'm thankful for our pastor and pastor's wife and their leadership, and again, them being out of town. So I say all that to say, if you're here today and you haven't been here when Pastor Borders is preaching, please come back. Please come back. And they will be back in about another, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. So please come back and let him minister to you. God will definitely bless you. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity today. God has spoken something to me, and I've wrestled over the last couple days with exactly which direction to go. And I take it very seriously to speak the word of the Lord. But I feel today this is what God gave me direction on. So if you'll bear with me for a little while, turn your attention to the book of Psalm, chapter 139. And we're going to read a few scriptures here together. We got to talking about David at the midweek groups, home groups the other night. My goodness, there's so much about David that just ministers to my life and my heart. And whenever you begin to talk about him, and this is a psalm that was the Bible, all the translations, the King James Version, it attributes this to it being a psalm of David. So this was one that he wrote, but in Psalm 139, verse 1, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Everybody say, oh no. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Everybody say, with all. With all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Verse number 10, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Today I want to simply preach on this topic, just two words, even there. Even there. And I wonder if we could take just a moment and put our our Bibles down and maybe focus our attention for a moment. We need the hand of God upon the remainder of this time, and can we ask Him to be with us today? God, we ask You this morning that Your Spirit would move in this room, that God, Your anointing would flow through my lips to speak the words that You have given, God, and that Your anointing would be in this place today. God, we open up our hearts and our minds to Your Word. We need You to speak to us, God, that Your Word would speak to us. By Your Spirit, You would anoint, Lord, our ears to hear, and we could hear what You want to say. And God, today I'm asking You to touch everyone under the sound of my voice today, Lord, that we could be unified together in one spirit and one mind. God, that You would tug on the hearts of those that are in this sanctuary today, Lord, and we're believing You for a move of Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone say amen. Amen. Turn to somebody as you're seated and say, even there. And act like you mean it, even there. Praise God. I'm fascinated by technology. I am sometimes, I'm going to use the words blown away. My mind is blown sometimes by the equipment, the electronics, the things that the equipment that mankind has available at their fingertips at this very moment. And that's the only things that I know about. I'm sure there's things that are far advanced than I am aware of in this world, that things that I've not even known, that scientists and people that have a lot more brain cells than I do that they tap into. Now just for sake of making you and I feel better, we all have the same amount of brain cells. It's just I haven't figured out how to get to the rest of them yet. So please pray for me. But the scientists and the people that are brilliant, and they're interested in it, and they follow after the vein of technology and furthering our science and the things that they know. So they're kind of mind-boggling to me. They kind of blow my mind, the things that are out there, and you look around and you're just fascinated by it. And I've heard of things that computers can do, and it's crazy to think how far we have come in the past 25 years. I use that because you look back about 23 and almost 24 years ago now, there was the whole Y2K, right? The world's going to, everything's going to end in year 2000. The computers were not built for rolling over to the 21st century, again, to the 2000s, and that we all really panic bought at that time. And it's been a long time ago, so I can be transparent now, is that I will be the one to say I went to Circuit City, if you know what that is, and I bought a new computer because I was afraid that the old one that I had was going to break. I know, you all were just cool, calm, cool, and collected, and nobody else made that, and I'm thankful that you didn't, because that was probably a lot of money out of my check that I didn't need to take. But that was the mentality, is that technology and things are going to happen. I hear of technologies used in various industries, and sometimes my eyes grow big and I get a little bit, and I'm like intrigued, like, wow, that's amazing that mankind has been able to put that into action and that we have the capability to do that. And so I don't know if not everybody's probably a technology nerd like I am, but I like to know about that stuff. And so it's intriguing to me, and I'm fascinated by it. And I recently heard, I was at a Walmart distribution center helping out a couple months back, and I don't usually go out of the one that I currently work for in Paul's Valley, but I had went there, and as I was walking around, there's some people talking about some of the things they were doing in their building, and they have these glasses that are worn by their warehouse workers that show them the place where the next box that they're picking up should go on their pallet stack that they're making there. It through the glasses, it shows them that box should go right there because it somehow is going to make it, it has helped them stack more efficient and secure and fit them within the confines of the space allowed on the truck that will be taking them to the wonderful Walmart store that you go and shop to. That was a shameless plug for Walmart. They pay my paycheck, so shop at Walmart. I'm just kidding. Y'all know I don't care where you shop. It gives them a point of view that helps them because calculations have been made, and it shows them what they probably didn't have time in that split-second decision and that time that they're working to calculate themselves in order to stay productive and move the product as fast as possible. And I witnessed that technology, and it shocked me. It blew my mind. I was like, I can't imagine. You're thinking like way down the road that something like that would happen. But today in 2023, Roy, there's people that are developing things that are way beyond my ability to think. And it's a lot of times it's a point of view. Sitting the other evening at the fire pit with some of the church members, we were looking up in the sky, and there was a moment here that just stuck in my mind as I was preparing this, as a helicopter flew over. And that we were sitting there, and it was a beautiful evening, and as I watched the helicopter fly over, it was kind of like, cool, you know, like, it's a helicopter. See them all the time flying around. And just not very long, Brother Thad is, I don't know where he's at right now, but he was there sitting, and we look up, and we see that just within a few minutes of that, a big jet, a huge jet comes. I mean, it's low, and it flies overhead, and I mean, you could see it in all of its majesty, this big jet. And I don't know, is he even in here? Because I was going to ask him, I don't know what kind. I think it was an AWACS, kind of, that's what we call them. I don't know what the technical term, but this big jet flies over, and Brother Thad, being the genius that he is, see, I wanted him to be here because I wanted to give him this hard time today. No, seriously. Brother Thad is a genius. If you just need to talk to somebody that knows way more than you do about anything in life, just sit and talk to Brother Thad. And you're like, wow, I need to study more books. I need to go to college or something. And I love him. I wanted to be here because I wanted to give him a hard time, but he would know I'm just teasing. But it's seriously, he knew about this capabilities of this aircraft. And he says, one thing he said is that the fact that they can fly tens of thousands of feet in the air, and they could see a huge portion, I believe you said around 80 or plus a percent of the entire earth, they could see from the vantage point of these airplanes that fly, and they collect information for our country and for our military. And so they, from this point of view that they're at, they're able to collect this data and see so much. And some of the other men that are in here, I may be completely bombing it. You can just tell me afterwards because you work there as well. But you maybe know more about these planes. But it was mind-boggling to me, the technology and the things that have, and it was something that really, really caught me off guard as I begin to think about the concept of point of view. Because point of view is a certain way of looking at things. It's a certain way I look at things. My point of view will most likely be a little bit different than your point of view. We can look at the exact same thing and it'd be different because of our point of view of that situation. But I wanted today to turn your attention to God has a certain point of view. That God today has a certain point of view, and we have a certain point of view. And as we look at this, these two point of views are quite different from each other. Even when we're looking at the same thing. My point of view oftentimes is very much different than God's point of view where I'm at. And so our perspective is one of the reasons of the point of view we have is, one, it's very limited. My point of view is very limited as I look at my life and as I look at things that are going on around me. I have a very limited perspective from my point of view. And then two, it's too close to daily life to see what is actually going on. I'm in the moment right now. I am thinking about, like right now, I'm only thinking about preaching right now. Right now, all the way up to this moment, it's been this moment at the time. This is what I'm seeing. I don't really know and care right now what happens after this. Because it's my perspective right now, and it's your perspective. You're living your life today with your point of view. Young people, you have a perspective today. You have a point of view that you're looking. You're living in this moment right now, and you're looking from your life right now to what you see. You don't know what's beyond that. None of us did. At that age, and as we grow through our age and grow older, we're looking right now that tomorrow you have work to be done. You know maybe there's life that has to happen today and tomorrow, but you don't really know much more than that. You can't tell what's going to happen. You just got your point of view is right now, I know where I'm at right now. And that whether that's good or bad right now, that's all I know. My point of view is limited. It's too close to me right now. I don't know what the next hour holds for me because I'm not there. I can't see it. And so I'm trapped, if you will, in this place where I'm this distorted. My mind is distorted by limited physical perception. I can't see the spiritual aspects all around me. You can't see the spiritual aspects all around you. And I feel the anointing right now because I feel like some of us need to take heed that there is spiritual things going on around you right now. That there are spiritual things that are happening around you right now, and that it would do you good right now to not be distracted by the world, to not be distracted by situations, to be distracted by life today, to realize that there is an enemy that's out to attack us, and that there are demons and there are angels around us every day, and that we have to stop and realize that it's a very valid point that what I'm doing right now at this moment is going to impact what happens to me tomorrow, and that what I do right now at the moment is going to impact what happens next week in my life, because the spiritual implications of where you are right now and the decisions you're making right now will change your direction going forward. And I feel it today is that we better take heed. We better take heed of what we are right now. God, help me not to get caught up in the moment right now to where I'm only worried about the physical things that I see. I don't let things in my carnal nature get a hold of me and to hold my vision captive and hold me captive by what I perceive right now. I don't want to let some kind of special thing in my life right now. I want to walk in the Holy Ghost right now, but I'm really afraid to. So I'm trying to be careful right now, but I can't let things get in my way. I'm not going to let social media get in my way. I'm not going to let a workplace get in my way. I'm not going to let the thing, electronics and technology and all the things that would try to vie for my attention. And I've got to stop and realize right now that what I do right now will make an impact on my tomorrow. And we have to take it. I'm only saying this because I feel for very strongly in the spirit this last couple weeks that we are somehow losing sight of the reality of the spiritual realm. And I'm not talking about creepy. I know we're coming upon a holiday that tries to celebrate evil and try to work on fears. I'm not afraid of what's in the spiritual realm because I know what side I'm on. This ain't in my notes right now, so somebody, I need your help right now. Is that to tell you right now that the spiritual things that are happening around me, I better wake up, and I'm not afraid of what's in the world because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm not afraid of the demons because I have a God that is bigger. I'm not afraid of the enemy of my soul because I have a God that is on my side. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled today because greater is he that is in you. But I face situations that I've never dealt with. And I'm limited by my experiences. Number four, limited by our experiences. I face situations that I've never dealt with. And when I come to that in life, I usually find somebody that's dealt with it. I find somebody that's dealt with it. Hey, you know, they got such and such going on. What kind of advice would you give me? And you and I, we probably all do that. We look for somebody that's been there in that situation. And today, I was realizing that I'm limited by my experience, the things that I have been through, because thank God, and you should thank God, you haven't been through everything. Well, you haven't been through everything. And you may live your life and never be through everything. But today I want you to know that whenever I live my life experiences that are limited by my experience and I don't know how to deal with it, I have a comfort in my heart today is that I have a God that has all the experience that I ever needed. I have a God that knows all things and that he has it all under control and that whatever you face tomorrow or whatever you're facing right now, that you're saying, I can't find nobody that has the answer, then would you just bear with me for a moment while I tell you that he is the one that has all the help that you need and he has the answers to what you need because he has dealt with it all. He's dealt with it all. And so I'm limited by my experiences, but God is not limited because he has been through it all. I'm limited by my ability. I'm limited by my abilities. And example is Peter rowing in the boat, fighting against the storm. And he sees Jesus, and everybody's scared. And they're looking out over this troubled water. And he sees Jesus, and he's like, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. I'm pretty sure that Peter knew he couldn't walk on water. I mean, the reality is he don't know how to walk on water. And something inside of Peter said, this is something outside of the scope of my ability, but right now I need to be with Jesus. That right now I need to be where he is at. And he says, bid me come. And I could just, Jesus just speaks and says, come on. Come on out here. Come walk on the water with me. And Peter steps out of the boat, and he can't believe that there's firmness there in the water. And he begins to walk on the water, and he realizes in that moment, at some point he starts to lose sight because he's like, there's no way I'm doing this. You'll talk yourself out of a miracle. You'll talk yourself out of a supernatural experience in God because you say, well, there's no way I could do that. And Peter stands there and he starts looking around and say, well, I shouldn't be doing that. There's lightning flashing all around. There's trouble all around me. And in his own ability, he realizes that he can't do it. And so he begins to sink. Thankfully, Jesus reaches out and pulls him up. But I want you to realize you go through situations in your life where you're limited by your ability because you don't have the ability to do it yourself. We are trying so many times to do it on our own. I have to face it right now, and I have to be transparent with you, as I try to fix it all myself. I try to do it all myself. Ain't nobody gonna help me preach this morning. I try to do it all myself. I've tried to fix it myself. But today I want you to know I don't have the ability. I don't have the ability to fix what's wrong in my own life. I don't have the ability. But today I want you to know that I serve a God that can. I serve a God that can. And so the flip side is God's perspective. God looks at it, and his perspective is clear and completely visible. It's clear. God knows exactly what's going on. And it's completely visible. Number two, he sees the physical and the spiritual. And he knows exactly what that means for us. He sees the physical. He knows where I'm at. He knows that, and he sees the spiritual things that are going on. And that's why I tell people it's not good to question God because you're not him, and you don't know what's going on in the spiritual. And God's using you right now and doing something in your life to help you. But he looks, so remember the story of Elisha? He has the servant that's with him, and Elisha's servant says, oh, master, there's enemy all around us. We're surrounded. And he was right. He wasn't wrong. And that's what I'm saying, be honest with yourself. Sometimes it's bad. And you look around and he's like, look at all of these chariots and horses and all these men with armor on. And he looks at him and Elisha's like, it's okay. And some of you, then he looked at him like some of you are probably looking at me right now. Like, what do you mean it's okay? It's not okay. We're going to die, Elisha. And Elisha says, oh yeah, hold on just a second. Elisha has to step aside and have a little conversation with God. Lord, me and you have been walking together a long time, and Jesus, he didn't call him Jesus at that point because Jesus hadn't been born yet, but Lord, help me, help my servant. And in the moment, the Bible says immediately he opened his eyes, and the servant could see that outside of the ring of all of the soldiers that were coming to take them captive, that behind them, the Bible says there were chariots of fire and there was angels of the Lord encamped aside from them. Because God sees the physical and the spiritual. And Elisha's seen it. He said, I know that there's a bunch of people here. It is a bad problem. But he wanted him to know God is bigger and better than that. And number three, God's perspective is higher. God has a better view. God has a better view. And so today, I want to try and get our attention with this today is to know that God knows where you are. He knows what you and I are going through. And he knows where you are in the spirit today. He knows the sicknesses and the sickness that you maybe suffer with. He knows your fear. And if you have ever suffered in any way whatsoever, I want you to know today that God knows about that. God knows that you are struggling with finances, and he knows that maybe your marriage and relationships are having problems. He knows that, he even knows how we struggle just trying to stay faithful to him. He knows our trials and all the problems we are have letting go and letting him control our lives because God knows we have trouble letting go. And he knows about cancer, and he knows about heart trouble, and the fear of the unknown. Today, if I could say it over and again, God knows. God knows. But also, God knows that you have trusted him. God knows that you have believed in him. And God, thank the Lord, thank God he doesn't condemn me for my weakness or my sickness. God doesn't condemn me for my weakness or my lack of faith. He doesn't down me because I had a lack of faith. He wants somehow to build my faith up, and so he understands where I am. He had to have faced everything that we face, because the Bible tells us that he was tempted in all ways as we are, and yet he without sin. I know that he had to be fearful of going to a cross. I know he had to be afraid to face the whipping post and to have nails driven in his feet and hands. I know he had to have that fear and that uncertainty of what was going to happen in the fleshly part of him, but God doesn't condemn me because my weakness or my sickness. In Psalms chapter 3, verse 4 through 6, psalmist cries, says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Sometimes we go to bed at night and maybe don't know if we're going to wake up tomorrow. I've been blessed with no sickness in my life, and I'm thankful, and I give God the praise, and I give God the thanks. And I know, though, that there's people that have lived their lives struggling with sickness, and there's people that didn't know if tomorrow was going to come. And this psalm speaks as he says, I laid down and slept. He's like, I don't know what tomorrow is going to be. I don't know if tomorrow I'm going to wake up. And this is the type of situation that some people find themselves in, is I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. And David said, I laid me down and slept. And he said, I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. Is that even though I was maybe sick in my body, and maybe I had circumstances, I didn't know how tomorrow was going to turn out, the psalmist cries out and he says that the Lord is the reason why I woke up. Today, I want you to know that no matter how healthy I am, I still feel thankful every day that when I wake up every morning, that God is the one that gave me the breath to my life today. And it's the Lord that sustained me. No matter how much I think I'm in control, it's him that's in control of me. And David says, verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. And he says, God knows my weakness. God knows where I am. And that God knows today. God knows what tomorrow holds. God knows what tomorrow holds. And so, looking at the scripture text, he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. God knows you. And thou knowest my down sitting and my rising up. He knows where you are. He knows when you sit down and when you stand up. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. And that absolutely freaks me out. God knows our thoughts. From afar off. I think he wanted to make that very clear. It don't matter how far away from me you are. I know your thoughts. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. With all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Ooh, there should be a cold sweat breaking out on some of us right now. He knows it before you even said it. The words of my mouth. He knows those words. And he says, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Here in verse 6, he's saying, I don't comprehend this. It's hard for me to comprehend this. And there's somehow in my heart to this desire to say, God, do I really understand how amazing this passage is? To say, Lord, this knowledge of how wonderful you are and how great you are, it's too big for me. It's bigger than I can comprehend. Lord, how can I know this? And he goes through these verses, but I like where he begins in verse 7. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Where can I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from thy presence? he begins to make this analogy that, God, if I could somehow, where would I go? I could run from you. I could leave your presence. I could get away from where you are. Where shall I go from your spirit? And he said, if I ascended up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. He said, I'm just thinking outside the box here, God. I'm thinking, yeah, what if I was to be able to go to the greatest extremes we know? God, if I was able to go to the greatest extremes mankind has ever done, somehow, God, would I escape your presence? How would I get outside of your vision where you can't see me, where you wouldn't know where I'm at? Today, sometimes in our life, we follow the path that leads us away from God, and we're walking on a path maybe today where we're not walking as close to God as we'd like to. And sometimes in our spirit, the enemy tries to tell us, you know what? You're going to just walk so far, you're going to walk right out of where God even knows where you are. He's going to try to tell you. He's going to start with you young people at a young age. And as we get older and we made some decisions that are not good, he's going to continue. The voice is going to get louder and stronger. And as we get into our elderly years, he's going to continue and say, you've walked too far away. You've gone too far from where God is at. And that he's going to take and put the pressure on you today. But I wonder today if you could listen to me as I try to proclaim to you from the depths of my soul at verse number 7. Or it begins to turn around at verse number 10, because he says, you know what? I could go to the greatest heights, and I could go to the greatest depths of the sea. I could go to hell if I want to, in the sense of I could go to the lowest part of the earth. I could go away from you, God, and I could make my bed in hell. And he says, but even there. Oh, sometimes our lives are fraught with all kinds of things that lead us astray, and all kinds of things that get between us and God. And that we come to church and we say, I've been trying to get a hold of God, and the enemy's saying, he doesn't listen to you. He don't want to hear your voice right now. He don't want to hear what you have to say. And there's a barrier there that we put up in our spirit, and the devil tries to somehow make it settle in our heart. But today, I want you to know that I've come to you with the recognition that no matter where you go, God is there. And even there in the darkest moment, he is there, and he knows where you are. Even there, when I go outside of your line of sight, even there, where can I go that would remove me from your presence? And he says, even there. Realizing today that the difference between where his presence is and the manifestation of his presence. Bear with me today. Not a big scholar, but I mean, you say, well, that's crazy the way that he worded that, out of your presence. Because God's presence is always everywhere. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. No matter where you think he's not. No matter where you think he's not, God is there. And so you can be in the presence of God and not know it. Because he's everywhere. Brother Bob, he's everywhere. No matter where I am, the presence of God is there. We today, just a side note, you don't ever want to be on this earth when God's presence is removed from this place. You think it's chaotic right now? And it is. Brother Fuller, it'll be super chaotic when the presence of God is lifted. And you don't want to be outside the presence of God. But there's a difference between being in the presence of God. That it's God is there, but you don't feel him. God is there and you don't know he's there, but there's a difference between that and the manifestation of God's spirit and his presence, where all of a sudden, me and him have connected a little bit. all of a sudden I'm reaching out for him, and we know God will reach out to us. There's something that happens, and I think we can become too comfortable with coming in to the presence of God but not experience the manifestation of the presence of God in our own life. Is that you can attend church every Sunday. You could come to church every Wednesday. You could be at every prayer meeting, and you could sing every song without even having to look at the lyrics on the wall because you have it all under control. You know it all, and you've been in the presence of God. But there's something different whenever you allow the manifestation of his presence to get inside of you. And you say, God, where can I go from your presence? And he says, nowhere. But I don't just not want to be in God's presence. I want to feel the presence and the manifest presence of God in my life. I need the experience of God. And so it's a caution to not let yourself be in the presence of God without being in the presence of God. I want God's presence manifest. I come into this house, a place of praise and worship, a place of Bible study on Wednesday night, not just to gather, but to feel the presence of God and let God work in my heart. But you can't run from where God is. Jonah runs from the call and the plan of God. And he ends up in the complete opposite direction of where God wants him to be. Completely opposite. He says, Nineveh's a bad place. I'm going to go the other direction. And so he goes and he runs. And he goes and sails the opposite direction, and to the point where he's going completely the different way than what God wanted him to go. And he ends up in the midst of a storm, the Bible tells us. A storm is raging, and I mean, the boat is about ready to break apart, and they're trying to figure out, they're desperately trying to save their own lives. They're trying to figure out, what do we do from here? And we're looking at it, we see that Jonah's like, well, this is a pretty bad week I'm having right now. This is a pretty bad week right now, because he says, the only way this is going to help you guys out is if you throw me overboard. And they're like, no, we don't want to do that. And you know the story. It keeps going until finally he's like, you better throw me overboard or nobody's making it. And they throw him overboard. So that was a bad week. Storm, about ready to break the ship apart. Throw him overboard into the middle. I mean, who knows where they were, in the middle of the ocean. And they throw him overboard. And then a big fish. I mean, God forbid that it's a whale. It was a big fish, people. That's joking, because every you say whale on accident, like it was a big fish. Okay, the big fish came, and it swallowed him whole. 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale or a fish. Talk about a trial. Talk about a trial. And this is the point here, is 3 days and three nights. Has anybody ever been lost for a long time? No? Y'all pretty good. Been lost. If you're just lost for overnight, that's pretty traumatic. Like, if you don't know where you are and you're lost. I'm looking at the story of Jonah and saying the guy was in the belly of a whale for 3 days. 3 whole days. He's floating somewhere in the ocean, doesn't know where he's going, doesn't know where he's at, and there is no record between the time he gets swallowed by a fish and the time that we know that he gets spit out of the fish, that God ever really said anything major to him. Because it says he's praying. And wouldn't you be praying? He's praying, oh, I'm sorry, God. Forgive me. I have made a mistake. But, Gavin, I wonder how on day two, if God hadn't said nothing to him, I have a feeling he started questioning his relationship with God. I have a feeling that he started questioning if God was ever going to save him. Maybe he just one of those slow digesting things in a fish's belly. And it's going to take a couple days and I'm going to be gone. He doesn't know. But all I could think of the story is that he's 3 days in a trial that he's like, I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know what's going to happen here. But he begins to pray and he begins to seek the face of God and say, he's repentant to the point. He said, God, if you get me out of here, I'll go where you want me to go. And in 3 days, I have a tendency to believe that there was a moment where he said, I guess I've went too far. I guess I've crossed the line too far with God. And maybe I'm never going to get out of here. But thank God, in his mercy and his grace. Come on, in his mercy and his grace, church. That he said, I've gone so far away. I've ran the opposite direction of where I'm supposed to go. I've went completely away from where I know God wants me to go. And I don't even know where I'm going to come, where I'm going to end up at. But in that moment, there was something that had to resound as that he began to maybe feel something happening in the belly of that whale and that fish. And he began to realize that something was happening. And whenever he landed, I don't know how it went out. We all have our comical way that we depict it. But he ends up on the land. On the beach or on the land, and I don't know how that thing spit him out that far, but whatever the case was, that in that moment, God spoke into his mind and said, even there, I was with you. Jonah, even there, I was right where you could reach out and you could touch me. You could speak to me. Today, I'm encouraged today by a few scriptures in the book of Romans. As I close today, if you want to stand. Romans chapter 8. We like to read verse 28, you know, all things work together. It's a good inspirational scripture. But as we continue reading, we come to a part where I believe the writer is trying to deal with some people that had a little bit of doubt in their heart. And today that's what I'm called to do. You've probably heard the stories I've preached. You've heard everything probably I've preached today. And I'm just asking you, please, just somebody here today needs to hear it. Is that maybe that message in Romans that we're going to read in a second was to somebody that lost the faith and thought they had gone too far away from the presence of God. I don't know everybody's situation. I don't know all of you really, really super personal, and I don't know your spiritual walk with God to the moment of everything you go through and all that. I don't know all that today. I'm gonna make the assumption today that probably somebody in here, you've been to the place where you didn't know where God was. And you thought you'd walked too far away from God, or you had done something too wrong that God couldn't hear you. And today, I believe that the apostle was writing to this kind of people in Romans chapter 8. Because all kinds of things are coming against the New Testament church. All kinds of things are coming against people. But the writer begins and he says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Who can separate us? Verse 37, he says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It says, for I am persuaded, I'm convinced, somebody say, I'm convinced, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, but this is the thing, right? Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And I'm asking every person in this room, I'm begging you, if there's ever a time, is that you would listen. Maybe you haven't got a whole lot out of this, but this one thing is that I want you to know that no matter where you are today, no matter what the enemy has tried to convince you in your mind, that God is speaking out and saying, even there, I am with you. God hears the cry. God hears the prayer. And God knows exactly where you are today. And so somehow that you could make up your mind that, God, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that where I am right now, you're with me and that you're going to help me get through my day-to-day life. I'm opening the altar today.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.